You'd have trouble too if your legs look like Lincoln Logs. Walking is an impossibility. Let's start the show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
See, we don't do that anymore.
No. We are filled with love and not hate.
It's not so much that, it's just, you know, policy change. I got plenty of hate. Hate to spare.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
And not hate and despair, but hate to spare.
Yes.
It's a two for one. Stop on by the Hate Shack. Get lots of hate. It's cake and cookies on Independence Day. We're working a federal holiday.
I'm a Yankle.
Are you?
I am a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
You're a Yankle Doodle Dandle?
A Yankle Doodle. It is early.
It is. You made it almost Yiddish. Yankle Doodle. Dandy. All right. It's the Cake and Cookies program. I'm Cake.
And I'm Cookie.
And light fuse and get away. This is the podcast that proves once and for all that your life is not so bad in comparison. We want to say thank you to Mike and to Oscar and mostly to Matt Bloom.
Yes. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. This is his holiday with booms booming in air. And to you, of course, the listener, for making it all possible. Now then, I didn't tell you this, but I'll tell you this briefly. Lina's had a...
Are you talking to me or the listener?
To you.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about the listener. You should know this by now. I don't talk to them.
I do know this, which I was slightly thrown off again early.
It is very early. Lina's had himself a bad day yesterday.
Oh, no. Presley had a bad day yesterday. Tell me about Linus's bad day.
Well, you saw his picture on the Instagram and the Facebook with his tongue way out.
Yeah, that's a nervous boy.
Yeah, he doesn't, and a serious boy.
Yes.
Because when he
serious
has...
Serious Linus is disconcerting.
When he has his Mr. Rourke ears up, he's so adorable, but he's not aerodynamic. But when he gets nervous and his ears go back and he becomes very otter-like. And we coined this early on, is that when his ears go flat, he is serious Linus. And he was very serious because yesterday we hopped in the car and all was well. He doesn't mind taking a ride. He's focused, but he doesn't mind it. And what he loves the most is the cracked rear window, which sounds like some sort of version of a Hitchcock movie. Linus in the cracked rear window. No, but you put the back window down halfway, and you have to put down two. Otherwise, the inside of your car goes,
yes.
You ever get that?
I do not like that.
Oh, it kills my ears. So I put both ears down, put both windows down. And then Linus goes and he stands on the armrest and sticks his face out and lets the wind blow. And he looks like... If you did like a Playmate of the Month video for dogs, that's what he looks like. He's lit by the sun. The wind is blowing. His hair is going in the air. It is a glamour shot. It's nothing you couldn't show on Cinemax. It's tasteful, but he's having a great time.
Does his tongue hang out when he's hanging out the window?
Sometimes he has got to be super duper relaxed. Most of the time he's posing and smiling. But
okay.
What I don't like is that now he's figured out that I don't know if he's figured it out.
Hey, Dad.
Or it's just...
Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. I need a selfie stick.
A selfie stick?
Hey, Dad.
Dad, I need lip gloss. I need lip gloss. So I also don't know if he's figured it out or it's just something that happens.
Boy, is my mouth dry.
I think what it is, he gets up to look out there and he steps on the window go down thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I look and the window's all the way down. He's opened the window because he's stepping on it.
Judd has done that.
And
we have to put the child locks on, like, so he doesn't...
I'm not sure that a Kia has auto kid locks. I think the only thing is the kids build the cars because they're from Korea. So I don't know that they actually...
not children building cars.
I think there are. There's miles and miles of children building Kia Sorentos. But anyway, I should look to see if there's... Anyway, I get nervous when the window is all the way down because I've told you the story about Pepper, right?
Pepper,
not the spice.
Did
the dog
open the door and
no. It was like a '67 Impala that we were taking a ride in. And when
you
I was
definitely told me this, but you'll have to refresh me.
And Pepper was another one who loved having his face out the window. But also, it was a
Pepper
car.
Pepper was a boy.
Pepper was a boy cocker spaniel, black, beautiful dog in his day. But then he got rather sausage like. Celebrity Pepper most resembled was the Yellow Submarine from the Beatles cartoon, except black. And so And also...
with ears.
Yeah. Pepper might have been gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Is we tried to breed Pepper, and he broke out of the garage and ran 3 miles home. I know you've probably had bad dates.
You have definitely not told me this before.
Well, I've not told you about the dating and the breeding, no. But
No, you didn't. So Pepper Pepper would not produce.
Everybody's had bad dates, but this must have been really bad. Because his involved like breaking out of a home and finding his way 3 miles home. I couldn't have done it.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
I don't know. I might have just, you know, as opposed to running away, I might have just closed my eyes and hoped for the best. I don't know that I would have taken all that effort. But anyway, that's beside the point. The Impala was pre-air conditioning. So the window in the back, yeah, this is a visual. Now, I wish we were on the Ustream so you could see this, but you will see this and help me explain it maybe. When you rolled it down, it didn't go down. It sort of curled back. It was like a almost like a wedge-shaped window. So when you rolled the back window down.
So wait, when they kind of went down into the door slightly sideways?
Yeah, but it wasn't a door. It was a two-door. Two big doors. And then so when you got in the back seat, you pulled the seat up and you got in the back. So the back window didn't have the back passenger side window did not have...
Was it on a hinge?
Sort of, yeah. It sort of just like curled back in, right?
Okay, yeah.
But it still had the crank deal. For those of you who are under the age of 30, windows used to have cranks.
There weren't buttons. There was a handle. Yes. If you're lucky, it had a knob that turned.
A lot of times the knob was off.
Yeah. those knobs, they were not good for anything.
Disposable.
And it's kind of like Pepper's knob. So you kind of had to crank it down.
Hey, acceptance is what we preach.
I'm so sorry.
How dare you? He's a good dog. Faithful. Very neat. Interior decorating. Pepper said... this needs
loved
a
the
knob.
Vacuum
So anyway, we're driving. I believe we're on Great Falls Street in Falls Church. All the windows are down, and Pepper's hanging out the window because he loves it, because dogs love that. And we take the turn, and all I hear is woof.
Go no. Pepper
left the car and landed in the intersection. And it sounded like it might have been, you know, cockers, they also have, sometimes when they get bigger, they also have Lincoln log legs. So I'm guessing that unless he was totally prepped, and judging from the sound he made, the stomach took the brunt of the landing. Oof. And then we look back.
Pepper lost his footing.
Yeah, well, he lost his situation, and there was almost no delay. We looked back, and then there's nothing more off-putting than seeing not just a dog walking around an intersection, but your dog, a dog that was just in your car. And you look, and he said, oh, come here, Pep. Come on, boy. And he was maybe a little disoriented, but he got back in the car.
As one might be if one had fallen out of a car.
Oof. And then... I know one thing. He wasn't jumping out of the car to look for a lady.
Oh.
So he...
love his heart.
He laid down in the back seat and all was well. But anyway, that's the story of Pepper. Good old... That's the same dog that my father painted racing stripes on. And eyebrows.
No, what?
Okay. Let's ling out all the Pepper stories today.
Yes, please. I do think that we discussed Pepper falling out of the car before.
Right.
So people don't get... Some of the crumbs get a little...
Oh, by the way, are we spelling crumbs with a K? People have brought up that we should because Katie starts with a K. So it's K-R-U-M-B-B for Rob with 2 B-S. But this is your call.
Oh, I see. But cake and cookies start with C's.
True.
Okay, so if there's 2 B's because of Rob, right. I guess it would have to be a K because of Katie.
Okay, heretofore, crumbs starts with a K. So it is written, so let it be done. Thank you. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Okay.
It's been bothering me. Anyway, yeah, so we have discussed Pepper. And by the way, this is brand new content on a holiday weekend. So if we recycle stories, tough toenails.
Think of it as a best of.
I like to think of every episode as a best of. Future best of.
Oh, look at you. Evergreen.
Thank you. And it's not even Christmas. It's the 4th of July. So.
No. For those who don't know, an evergreen program is one that you can use at any time of the year.
No dated references. Not seasonal. And the music is, of course, sung by Barbara Streisand. That is what makes a program evergreen.
Green sleeves.
Do you know why they call that? From the wiping of the snot.
Oh, no. Gross.
No, I guess that's not right. I'm thinking of something else. Oh,
okay. So
that's why they put buttons on men's jackets now. Is because I think it was Napoleon was disgusted with men wiping their nose on their sleeves, so he put buttons so he couldn't do it. Green sleeves, that's like a kindergarten joke. That's not like a history thing. Forgot about it. I get soupy in my head sometimes.
I totally thought it was, no.
It's like a crock pot of disinteresting information up here, so let's try to keep it straight. Back to Pepper, all you crumbs with a K. Great dog. He cohabitated with Cassie in Michigan for a while when my grandparents' house was a three-dog house. But primarily, he started out as our dog when I had a mother and a father. Before I came from my broken home. And he had a habit. He was unhappy. You know, it all makes so much sense now. He was conflicted, this dog. He was unhappy.
In hindsight.
His big trick was to pee on the bathroom rug and then push the rug in the corner so we wouldn't find it.
Oh.
Not effective hiding.
No.
Eventually we'd find it. So anyway, my father was painting said bathroom, and this is in the days of oil-based paints, which were very fumy, lots of the paint fumes, and it was an old house, and the ventilation was horrible, and let's say my dad was silly, and he might have been drinking a little, but it was mostly the paint fumes, I think, so he was like Timothy Leary high, and Pepper... Before
you're gonna do it, you might as well enjoy it.
Go all the way, baby. That's right.
Honey, why don't you open that window?
Nah.
Mm-mm.
No.
Better this way.
No. Go put the birds on the stereo. 8 miles high. So they're
one
painting.
One pill makes you smaller.
So Pepper is blacker than 1,000 midnights. He is just pure jet black. Black eyes, black hair, black toenails. And until he got older and got his little, you know, gray beard, like a guy who drives a Harley. When you reach a certain age,
like
you have to have a gray goatee.
Like you without the Harley.
Exactly. Without the, ability to leave my home. So but at this point, Pepper was just jet black. And... because of that, his face was not that expressive. So the first thing my dad did was gave him eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
Light green. Just two little eyebrows. And I think he made them happy eyebrows, because if you had made them, like, you know, on an incline, he'd look like a mean dog.
An angry
But
Pepper.
This was a pleasant, inclusive Pepper. And so,
happy Pepper.
And the eyebrows went so well that then he gave him a number 9 on the side of his belly.
Number 9.
And no, in honor of Sonny Jurgensen. Bob, I want to say thank you for putting my number on that gay dog.
So, cutting the cheese is fodding.
If you want... Okay, quick sidebar. Here's every commercial Sonny Jurgensen ever recorded at WJFK. If you want your company to be the best, you've got to work as a team. That was like the way every commercial started. Okay. And then the 9 looked kind of plain. So he circled it and put racing stripes on the dog. Green paint, oil-based paint. Now, here is where in classic script writing, Act 3 begins. Because on Act 3... the setup is, of course, the painting of the bathroom, Act 1. Act 2 is the painting of the dog.
Yes.
Act 3, my mother comes home.
Oh, no.
What have you done to the dog?
So, hi.
I want you to see what I did to the dog. Now he's going to want to have sex. He's got a number 9 on him, just like Sonny Jurgensen. This is very, and look at his eyes. He's got eyebrows. So my mom forced my father to wash him and clean him up. I do think somewhere exists a picture of him with the paint.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
But that would be at my mom's house. I would have to go get it. But anyway, so that's the story of Chesterbrook Pepper, who was actually a Kennel Club certified purebred Cocker Spaniel. And his name was Chesterbrook Pepper, or as we called him, Pepper. Thank you.
Chesterbrook Pepper?
Yeah, because he lived in Chesterbrook. That was our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Chesterbrook School is there, the Chesterbrook Shopping Center.
And Pepper because he was black.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Creative. You would have chosen a different name? Spot?
No, you got the right one. Perfect.
Sunny?
Sunny.
Here's my dog, Sunny. Hey, Wolf. Hey, Wolf.
Whew.
Woof. That's him landing. But of course, that's not why I brought you here. I want to talk to you about Linus's bad day. He had to go to the combo beauty day, vaccination day. We take him to the Leesburg PetSmart, which I talked to Julia about your confusion yesterday. We've decided it is Pet Smart, not Pets Mart.
No, baby. I am bringing up the...
No, baby.
Uh-uh.
I like it.
Uh-uh, baby. No.
But also in our...
You got to look at the logo.
Okay,
It is Pet Smart.
That's what I said. Not Pets.
I just naturally assume you're going to say something that's wrong.
Welcome to my world. That's nothing great. Everybody. Nobody has greater joy than when I screw something up. So I'm sorry to let you down this time. I think it means store for dogs. Oof. So within PetSmart, there is a Banfield veterinary clinic, and that's where Linus, that's where we go for his, you know, oil changes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so we get in the ride, we get in the car, we get in the Korean bill.
Hop up into my ride.
Luckily, the 9-year-olds had just finished assembling my Kia. So we all get in, and first we take Julia to work, and he loves that. Go down the street, face out the window, sun, you know, Playboy video, beautiful, sexy dog. And we drop Julia off at the mall to scoop Italian ice, and then we go back, and he thinks we're going home, but we don't go home. Mm-hmm. And he knows as soon as we pull into the shopping center where the PetSmart is,
he knows.
He knows. And we get there, and I say, it's going to be okay, buddy. It's going to be okay. So pull in, park, get out, got the leash on him. Come on. Doesn't go. Come on. Sits down. Defiant.
Oh.
Give a little tug on the leash. Nothing. Now I tug on the leash a little harder, and the front legs go into lock position.
Oh, okay. So he's doing the straight leg.
Yeah.
You can't make me.
To the next level, another tug, and now I'm pulling hard enough that all of his neck skin is pushing up.
Oh, no.
So he has like a Sharpay face because all extra skin has been pushed up to his face. And I really ought to be mad at him for it, but it's just like, buddy.
He knows he's not going to go in there and have fun.
So I pick him up. I have to pick him up, which he hates. Yeah. He hates it. And I put him down and he looks at me like, I guess we're doing this. So he will, you know,
resignation. What Judd does is he doesn't fight it.
Right.
He goes in and he just puts his head down. And it's just his ears are back. He just puts his head down and he just goes back.
But it's sad. It's a sad thing.
Oh my gosh. It is so sad.
As a pet owner and as a dad, you don't like it. So you walk him all the way to the back. And I know he's bummed because there's other dogs there and he's not even looking at them. He just walking. Gets to the back of the store, gets on the scale, sits down. It's like, okay, I know the drill. He's down a pound. That's why he looks so fabulous. He's 48 pounds.
His coat is shiny.
And check him in. And he has to have his day of beauty first. Nails grind, bath, cologne, no kerchief. Thank you.
No kerchief.
Don't like dog kerchiefs. I think it looks like you're trying too hard.
Huh.
You like them?
Did you just assume I would
like them?
Yes. I would totally assume that you would love a kerchief on a dog.
No, glasses on a dog.
But no kerchief.
Maybe a hat. If it's right.
Mm-hmm.
But no kerchief.
I am shocked.
You live, shocking. You live, you learn.
Who
and,
knew?
And so drop him off, and then he's going to go over and get the Bordetella and the...
No kerchief to the point that you actually make a note of it for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it costs like a dollar and a half.
They charge extra for the kerchief?
Yes. Oh, there's all sorts of...
add-ons?
There's a progressive plan. They'll upsell your dog like crazy. It's like buying a car. Do you want undercoating on the dog? Do you want a number 9 in racing stripes?
Yes.
Do you want eyebrows?
Absolutely.
Do you want the woof surcharge? So I know he's going to do his day of beauty, and then he's got to go and get all his shots, and you know they check his bad place and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. So I get a call, and I say, everything fine? They said, yes. You still want to pick him up at 5? I said, yes. I said, what's up? He says, he has a touch of gingivitis. I said, just like his old man. But nothing that's nothing that can't be corrected with a dental cleaning, which we have scheduled. But he's in perfect health, which is great.
Oh, do you want me to prepare you for the dental cleaning?
Please.
Oh, they will find teeth to remove.
No matter what?
I mean, it depends on their age. How old is Linus?
He will be 5 in December.
Okay. How's his breath?
It's better than mine.
No, for real. How is his breath?
It's fine. It's fine. Sweet boy.
Okay.
I think his teeth are in really good shape.
Okay.
They said literally just a touch of gingivitis.
Okay, well, means, that's good. I know that.
That just means inflamed gingiva.
Our vet told us that dog food today isn't as like hard and crunchy.
Right.
To kind of scrape all that stuff off.
Oh, okay.
So it sticks a little bit, and then they wind up with like cavities and.
But what about
teeth
we do the greenies?
Well, that's good. That's
to
good.
Clean
that's
his
helpful.
Teeth. Yeah.
But Judd had 5 teeth removed.
That's. And he's better now?
Yeah.
Has he changed?
He's actually.
Has
like,
he changed the way he talks?
Did I not tell you about this? Yes, I did.
I think you did, but I didn't maybe remember it was 5 teeth. I mean.
It was 5 teeth.
That
and
dog
like,
is Walter
he looks
Brennan.
Derpy a little bit when he wakes up.
Oh, because it's general anesthesia for that.
Well, no. I mean now, because his teeth kind of suck in.
What?
Where there's no teeth, his lips kind of suck in, like hey, the old man. Like,
hey, Mom.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Now he's done it. I'm running around with my man, Presley. I brung you some dynamite.
He had 2 molars, 2 secondary molars, and 1 small, like, tooth on top removed.
He could ride the Molar Express.
He was so they give you like pain medicine and everything for them as well.
Are you allowed to take it as well?
I don't believe so. I didn't Hi, try. Carrie. I'm
look, it's my wife, Carrie.
Hey, Carrie.
Hello.
Carrie and dogs.
The best part though is Judd likes his walk.
Sure.
Okay, Presley, no, she's agoraphobic, so there's no walking for Presley.
Right? Would Presley do a treadmill if she could stay inside?
She loves her backyard. Like that's okay. Where she gets all of her exercise and
Understood.
Everything, but she doesn't like to go. She fortifies the castle.
Well, she guards.
She does.
And the castle's it's in danger if she's not here.
So Judd, on his like second day afterwards, they said they could do a little bit of light. They can't go running or anything.
Sure.
They have to be right. So he starts asking for his walk. And he goes and he sits by the door and he burp,
burp. Little guy, little barks. Oh, he's just burp. Reminding you. I'm at the door.
Yeah.
I'm at the door.
And then he'll tap on the door like Presley taught him. Ugh.
Does he tap with his nose or a paw?
His paw.
Okay.
Or
with his walking
So
stick.
I'm like, okay, I'll take him for just a little like to the end of the block
and back.
And back.
Yeah, little guy.
So we make it halfway down the block and there's a home and it kind of has a sloping yard.
Yes.
So he goes up to pee on the fence.
Mm-hmm. He climbs it.
And then decides this is when he should poop, and he poops uphill. The poor guy was so drugged up. He's pooping uphill. He can't get himself together.
Doesn't that sound like the worst self-help book?
pooping uphill.
Yes.
You too can overcome anything.
That's right. Pooping uphill. And overcoming when the universe is against you. By Judd
but
Von
I
Herman.
Swear, he gets done. I like pull out the bag and everything. But he just sits down on the sidewalk and just like looks at me like, maybe we should go back.
Or you know what the look is saying. You know what? For now, here is just fine. Why don't you sit down too, Mom?
My poor baby. I love him so much. But
so 5 o'clock rolls around, and I go and I pick up Linus. And he is out of his mind happy to see me. Like Carrie
well,
happy.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, not like Carrie's happy to see me, but as happy as he is when he sees Carrie. But
oh,
he's
Carrie
just,
is his human.
So, but he's just got his nails ground down. So when I hook him up on the leash and I'm doing the paperwork.
Is he slippy paws?
Do you remember a little pull toy? Like probably even before I was little, but it was like a duck on wheels. But
yes.
When you pulled it, it had like flappy things that would spin. Like that's Linus trying to walk. And I've got him on a leash, and he is going as fast as he can, but he has so little traction, I'm barely feeling it in the leash. He can't even get going. And
he has slippy paws.
He has the slippy paws. And so if he had been with nails on like turf, he would have been going about 30 miles an hour. That's how much power he's putting into it. But as it stands right now, he's basically standing still. And I get him home and he
probably could go 30 miles an hour. A coyote can travel up to 40 miles per hour.
Really?
I learned that this morning.
Were you being chased by a coyote? Or were you just driving alongside one?
I was like, Wile E, stop!
I am not here to sell you anything. I am Wile E Coyote and I'm here to eat you.
No, I found a new show on the Discovery Channel.
It's called How Fast Coyotes Go?
No.
It's called Pooping Uphill.
Homestead Rescue.
Do they cook?
No.
It's
going
like
to be Dan's new favorite show to hate.
Because if it's not the Pioneer Woman, I'm not watching.
Oh, Reese.
She's a bitch on wheels.
You think?
Yeah, I do. And I think she's stupid. I think mostly she's stupid, but I also think she's a bitch. But I think a lot of cooking people are.
Wow, you've got some really strong opinions here.
Hey, you know what? Ask me a question. I'll give you an answer. Anyway, so I get Linus home, but the picture that I posted on the gram yesterday, which carried over to the Facebook. But, you know, a lot of times if you do a picture, you just put it on the gram and it carries over. With Linus's tongue looking like Gene Simmons. His tongue is like 3 times bigger than his head. That's why he was so upset. And then we got home and then Sydney comes over.
Yeah.
Sydney is the black lab.
I sent Linus a present.
I know, and I'm very excited. Do you think he'll use it?
The question is, will you?
Well, I'll install it. Absolutely.
Well, it's really easy, too, because it just goes over the headrest.
Tell people what it is.
Well, we talked about it on last week's show during the questions.
Yes.
In our car, we have, for lack of a better word, it's like a hammock almost.
Hammock.
But it's a waterproof canvas. It has 4 loops on it, and the loops go over the headrest of the front seat and the headrest of the back seat, and then it creates sort of a hammocky type thing. We put their dog beds in there, and it's a trip to Sleepy Town as soon as they get in.
Do you think he could sleep in it and be comfortable without a dog bed?
I mean, that's the way they show them on the pictures and stuff. We just put the dog beds in there because typically if we put the dogs in the car, it's for a long trip.
We will definitely try it out, and we'll see. And I think he'll be just fine.
But I think that like it might
calm him.
Yeah.
And maybe make him less otter-like.
Because ours, if that thing's not in there and they're just sitting in the seat, they slip and slide and fall, and they don't like all the bumping.
He walks around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really don't like is when I go to look to see if I can turn right and all I see is dog head because he has mounted himself on the center console like a lion in front of the Corcoran Art Gallery. And he thinks that's where he belongs. You can't tell him otherwise. He doesn't listen to reason.
So, and they're super cheap. They're like $14.
Well, I will have a report for you shortly then We'll
yes, I would
that.
Like to know how it works out. But they're super easy to just unhook and fold up and stick in like the floorboard or cool. throw it in the back.
Cool. All right. So
when,
anyway,
when
so that was
humans want to ride.
That was Linus's rough day.
Rough day.
I didn't even mean that as a joke. You had surgery.
I did.
How you feeling?
Good.
We normally would have recorded earlier, but I gave you a day or so, and then I thought, you know, she's recovering, yeah. and when I checked on you, you were at a bar.
Well, yeah. So my mom came down to help out.
Help. I need somebody.
She did a lot of laundry. I didn't want her to. I just, you know.
Was it her laundry? Was it yours? Neighbors?
Ours.
Okay.
Stuff that probably didn't need to be washed.
Oh, was she rewashing?
She gave herself some tasks.
I don't like the way this was folded. Put it back in the machine.
Oh, God. No, that's it. So we, growing up.
Yeah.
Between my dad, my brother, and myself. And then Odana was so much younger. But we had to earn laundry privileges.
You mean the ability to do laundry?
Yes.
F
my mother's
that.
Very, very particular about laundry.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People have stuff they're particular about. My grandmother was very particular about the way people made beds.
I can understand that.
And so, I mean, very, you know, the sheets were just so and tucked just right and stuff like that.
Do you do a top sheet?
Yes, we have a fitted sheet, a top sheet, a blanket, and a bedspread.
Huh.
Why?
And then every night,
Carrie destroys it. She's like the Tasmanian devil.
Because
sheets
so,
come
and
untucked.
You know that you've been to Europe, and there's not really top sheets.
Nor is there happiness. It has a lot to do with the war.
I since Dan and I got together and got the dog, that I just ditched the top sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And we do like the duvet with the cover.
Do you know how to fold it? How are you at folding a fitted sheet?
I can get it into a perfect square.
So can I. This is why you and I are so well matched as buddies.
Can
fold.
Well, it's because of my mother and her weird laundryness.
I can take a fitted sheet and turn it into a swan, like origami.
You're pulling my leg.
I am. You called me on it. It was a joke.
So I will never forget. So things were different with my little sister than they were with the rest of us. They were a little... My brother and I paved the way for her, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember she sent me a picture. She'd like painted something, sent me a picture, and there was a glimpse of her linen closet.
Yes.
Now, there's a very specific way that we had to fold towels.
Carrie is specific about towels, too.
In half, and thirds.
Oh, Carrie, I think, is thirds, half, half. But, I mean, same concept.
Same thing. Okay. I couldn't even focus on what she had painted because I was like, what savage taught her to fold towels? I was just mortified. I was like, she clearly did not take notes from our mother.
That's another similarity between you and me. We will look in the background of pictures. Do you know who hates that?
Oh, yeah. No, I need to see everything that's going
really
on. What can I pick out? What can I pick apart?
Mike O'Mara, if he sends me a picture of something and I'll say, and what's going on with that in the back? He says, don't look at that, you stupid stalker.
Do you think other people do that too?
I don't know. But it's something that I do. I love looking. Like on Facebook, I'll go to someone that I don't even know. And they'll have like a picture of a dog or, you know, a meal or some beautiful piece of art. But I zone in into the back and I'll say something like, oh, I drink Mountain Dew too.
I was going to say, oh, how are those martinis?
Yeah. And then their reply is usually like ?" And although I don't type it, my reply is blah.
And I totally
think it's an evil,
that.
It's
I
an
totally
evil trait.
That.
It's an evil trait because what you're doing is you are diminishing what they're saying.
Absolutely.
It is
we
really,
evil,
really bad.
Nitpicky people.
Why can't you share in the joy of my beautiful dinner? I said, because I am looking at the magazine on your buffet table. That's why. Oh, Boy's Life. How nice.
Garden Garden.
That's so great. I think that should be a trend that we push on the Facebook now. Ladies and gentlemen, Crumbs of the United States,
K-R-U-M-B-B-S.
Start commenting on photos on Facebook that are not what the photos are of. Find background things and comment
on them. This is our charge to you.
This will make your life better and their life worse. Go, go, go.
Go, go, go. Go forth. Go forth and nitpick.
Go, Crumbs. Go and nitpick. Be fruitful and nitpick. You know what? The things that we take great joy in. Be fruitful, nitpick, and then fold your fitted sheets. WABC. You had surgery.
I did.
And you're feeling well.
I am.
Was it your left or right arm?
My right.
Your right arm has been removed.
The amputation was successful.
That's right. And our third caller gets the arm.
But please note, it's just from the elbow down.
That's right. Non-transferable. Right. No. So what actually, I know that this is based on the incident with the dog, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I was attacked by a dog background. In February.
Right.
And, got all that stitched up, but the muscle had been crushed. So the scar tissue from the muscle connected to the scar tissue from the scars.
Right.
So we had to do some work in there to separate the two.
Right.
And not very pretty. And it
nonsense, you're beautiful.
Sort of. So some of that scar tissue had to come out.
Sure.
So there are four places on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
We did two. The one that was the biggest and then the one that was sort of the deepest.
All right. All right.
And essentially, they just cut out the scar and stitch it back together.
So it heals right.
Yes.
Very good. So are you're not yet done. You have another one to go?
Yeah, we're going to see how these sort of take.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they only did two was because the two that we chose to do are on the far side from each other, so they wouldn't, if you did any more, there's not enough skin to stretch.
Oh, I understand. So you have to almost manufacture the materials before you can move on.
Yes. Yeah.
Bless.
So,
Your arm, bless.
Hashtag bless. So I go in to the doctor's office and
I said, Doctor!
Mr. MD. he has been so good to me. He's the same doctor that fixed my hand.
Right.
When I broke my hand last year.
I remember. Let's not give too much backstory because it starts sounding, like you're hiding a fact about Dan. He was the same doctor when I walked into the doorway. He was the same doctor when I fell down the steps.
I know we don't have steps.
But still, bless.
Bless.
Dan, he's the same doctor.
No, we don't joke about that. That's not.
Helped Dan with his temper.
I know. God. I've seen Dan angry, I think, twice.
And one time he was just mad that he had gotten mad.
Probably.
Well, so you go to the doctor and he's a good guy.
He is. He's so great. And so it was interesting when he was working on my hand last year, we spent quite a bit of time together.
Yes. Well,
literally trying to save my finger.
Right.
And, just the whole thing. So we had some really good music conversations. He really is into music,
sure.
And we would, a lot of it led up to between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay.
And I don't think either of us, somehow it came about of changing the music because it was Christmas music.
Oh, music and the ambient music in the operating theater. I like to make it sound like 1930s, the big white dialed operating theater with the observation deck.
So I know at one point he came in to do the third surgery on my hand.
Yeah.
And he said, so are you cool with the music? And I was like, I have choices.
Oh, this just turned into a 12-hour procedure.
So he was like, what kind of music do you like? And I was like, well, just about anything. My wheelhouse is probably classic rock. And he lights up.
Oh, that's great.
And he goes, oh, okay. So he goes and changes it to a classic rock station.
Right.
And then proceeds to operate on my hand and tell me about his sort of relationship with Greg Allman.
So he is a fan or?
Was a friend.
Oh, a friend of the late Greg Allman. He passed within the year, right?
Yeah. Earlier this year, yeah. And I hadn't seen my doctor since he had passed.
Okay.
And I had purchased for myself, because I got my record player, everything, my speakers, I'd purchased for myself last fall, live at Fillmore East by the Allman Brothers.
Definitive,
was remastered.
Definitive Allman Brothers album.
It was remastered and re-released, and I got it for myself, and it's incredible.
Cool.
So I just, you know how sometimes you get a little bit drunk and order things on Amazon?
Do you know that Carrie has tried to install a breathalyzer on my modem? So in a word, in a simplistic word, yes.
So I went and I just purchased it again to give it to him.
Okay, that's cool.
I just thought that was nice. And I
that's nicer than the time that I ordered two Elvis box sets because I forgot I'd already ordered it.
Right.
Yes, it's similar but different.
So I took it to him. He was very grateful. We had some great conversations. But he was doing my arm, and he's talking about the about the Allman Brothers and Greg Allman again. And he was in the studio. There's an album that'll be coming out. He was in the studio with him. So we talked a little bit about that and how cool it was and how he was just a really good person.
Right.
So I think it was a good gift. Not weird. It could have been weird, but it wasn't weird because...
You know, I think as a rule, unless you are driving at something with an impropriety behind it, no gift can be weird. If you're just showing appreciation, I think it's a lovely thing. Some people aren't good at getting gifts. Some people aren't good at giving gifts because they feel awkward. But think, if you think about it, if you're not trying to get something out of the gift giving, if it's just a gift, it's nice.
It's just a gift.
It's nice.
Yeah, and he gets it. So that was...
That's great,
I knew he would get it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bought it.
Sure.
So I'm sitting there, my arms like out on the table and stuff, and I don't know why, but I really wanted to watch.
That's twisted.
Is it?
Yes.
Because I told you I like looked at my hand surgery at one point,
right?
And that freaked me out.
Yeah. But so this, you should know better.
Well, I don't know, because I knew it wasn't going to involve tendons and things the way that the hand did.
That's, by the way, I have a rewards club card there at Tendons and Things. It's right by Michael's, and you can go there, and for every $40 you spend, you get a free tendon.
A free ligament.
Yeah. Oh, and they keep, my breath have never been fresher. Sucking on ligaments. It's the little mint with the great big taste. Ligament. Keep it in your arm. That's the motto. It's the little mint with the great big taste that you keep in your arm. Ligaments.
So we're talking, and I said,
and traditional five flavor.
I think I want to look. And he says, no, you don't. And I said,
Think I do.
And he says, I don't think you do. And I was like, I'm going to look. And he goes, you do what you want.
Can't stop you.
So I just turned and looked, and I was like, oh, okay. So I watched.
And was it okay?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for
because,
you.
Because let me tell you why it was okay. He had already done the part that freaked me out.
Okay.
The removal.
Yes.
Part. That was already done. And that was weird because I was awake for the whole thing, obviously. But
it's a local anesthetic, right? I mean, it gives you like Novocaine or Lidocaine or some sort of cane, Michael
Caine.
Yeah,
lots and lots of it. The cutting noise was what the that was what freaked me out. Once that was done, I just watched. I know, and the only reason I'm telling that is because I know it's a little bit odd.
Now, does he specialize in hands? What's his deal? So will Dan go see him after?
So Dan had an accident.
Yep.
He ran into a door.
No.
So he's been meal prepping?
He's not coming in, but I just wanted to play his song.
Okay.
Because you got him a mandolin slicer.
He's been meal prepping. And
prepping for the end of the world. He's a prepper.
There's a lot of chopping. and I just thought a mandolin, and I got the kind with the handle.
Which he probably didn't use.
He did, but apparently his hands are bigger than the handle.
Oh, no!
Ah. So, yeah, he got his thumb in there. Now, my mom was here, and we were just sort of hanging out in the living room while Dan is meal prepping, and Dan says, I hear the water go, and he says, would one of you come in here for a minute?
You are literally making my head light right now because I've done this before and it's...
Oh, you have?
Oh, sure. It's the worst.
Yeah. So my mom and I like look at each other like, what the heck? So I'm thinking he just needs some like food advice.
Yeah.
Sometimes he asks, you know, what do you think? You think we should use this or do you think I should use this? And
right.
I say, neither. This is what you should do.
Ta-da! I'm Katie, and I'm here to save the day. Say, does thumb have any gluten in it?
we threw that portion of the potato away.
Good.
It tasted metallic.
Yeah. Talk about fingerlings.
Oh! He made the white potatoes red potatoes.
Why does this ketchup taste like copper?
He's got his thumb under. Ugh. Yeah.
I know. That's bad. Why'd you say that?
He's got his thumb under the sink and it's just going.
Oh, no. You see, and I know I can feel it. It's like a cold. Your thumb goes through like a cycle of cold, hot, hurt, cold, hot, hurt, cold, hot, hurt. And the blood keeps going. It just doesn't stop.
Now, Dan is very pale. He will never, ever, ever tan.
He is a white guy.
He really is. He's very pale.
Yes.
And I have never seen him. I swear to God, he was almost like blue.
Transparent.
Yes. I could see right through. Dan, I can't help you. You disappeared.
Where did he go? All I see is running water and blood.
He just, I mean, if you can go any paler than pale, he was, it was that.
Now.
And. My mom like grabs some stuff and starts putting pressure on it, and then Dan like makes eye contact with my mom, and my mom says, okay, you need to sit down just here in the floor.
Oh, it's one of those.
My mom was an EMT, so she's pretty intuitive about these things.
Sure.
And I think she also realized, and I've said this before, when he got really sick,
yeah,
if he falls down, yeah, I can't help him.
Well, first of all, he's tall. So if he falls down, that takes like 9 minutes.
My mom is smaller than I am.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
She's a tiny little lady. Oh. So she just has him like sit down and then lay down in the kitchen floor.
In phases. Yeah. You're going to have to do this yourself.
Slowly.
Yeah. Slow.
Slow. Slow. There might be a bunny rabbit involved. Slow. Focus on the rabbit.
Right. And so does he go down to the floor? Does he ever lose consciousness?
No.
And he didn't go to the doctor?
No, it's just we kept it wrapped up for a couple days, and now he put some, what is it, new skin?
Okay, yeah. How much did he lose? Was it like size of a Tic Tac?
Yeah.
Because if it gets dime size.
If it's like dime size, you got to go to the doctor, and there's like, what are they going to do though? There's nothing to...
No.
Put back together.
No, but they would probably do something similar, pressure and like some sort of fake skin. Now, if it's a cut,
it was a...
Because you know what I did with the
nugget.
Food processor?
It was a nugget.
You want sauce with that nugget?
Oh!
You remember when I nearly cut my finger off with the food processor blade, the two bits of stupidity there?
Yes.
The first one was me saying to Robert, whenever you're handling these, be very careful because they're sharp. Then it knocked off the counter and I tried to catch it. Like seriously,
like a cat,
like seriously within 40 seconds, and blood is leaving my hand in an arc, just like bleep bleep. I can
this
see it coming out.
The grossest episode we've ever done.
Yep. So so I can see the blood leaving my finger based on my heartbeats, like it's going blump blump blump. So I put pressure on it. And
Presley.
And I say, don't put pressure on Presley. That was some sort of mental pressure. And so my mom is there. She says, I hate to do this, but we really need to get that stitched up because it was fruitcake day. And so I said, that's why the food processor was out.
I don't think you told me it was fruitcake day.
Yeah. So we go to the emergency room and I yell up to Julia, Julia, Sharon is taking me to the emergency room. And her reply was, okay. Not a follow-up question.
They love you so much.
Nothing. I mean,
they love you so, so much.
I would have been satisfied if she just said, is your paperwork in order? She didn't even care about that. I mean, whether I was dead, whether I was alive, nothing. But anyway, the finger is okay, but there's still a certain lack of feeling where the cut was. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I damn near killed myself.
Rectum.
I nearly killed him. So, the next time you eat a fruitcake, know that I am physically scarred for life.
For life.
For life.
You're having flashbacks the whole time.
Those black
Sharon,
walnuts.
You're going to have to operate the food processor this time.
Honey, I'm going to the emergency room.
Okay.
Wonderful. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll entertain your questions, and hopefully you too. It's the Independence Day edition of Cake and Cookies. And as I said on Facebook today, hey, America, have a boss birthday. We're back after this. Ken Foreigner, hold tight at number one. Tune in tonight for the Hot 8 at 8 and we'll see. Your vote.
I thought you said Ken Foreigner, and I was like, who's that?
No, I only know Ken Stevens.
he hates Zany.
Still an all-time favorite. Better than Pepper falling out of the car. Oof. This is part two. If you've started here and you want to hear part one, hit rewind on your smartphone. Do you have a... When you listen to Cake and Cookies, and I know you do, always, do you listen on the app or do you go to the podcast app? How do you listen to Cake and Cookies, Katie, or do you go to the website?
I usually go to the website.
I listen on the podcasting app and listen at 1.5 speed because it sounds like we're very excited.
Dan listens on the app.
Okay.
But he has a droid.
Boo!
And
boo!
It's not as stable. The app isn't as stable.
Or is it Dan?
It's probably Dan.
Yeah.
But it'll crash and then he gets really mad because it starts over.
Has to listen to all those tired old jokes again.
I mean, as mad as Dan can get, really.
That was one of the two times he got mad.
Yeah.
As we established in the last segment, Dan has only been mad twice in his life.
I think that's pretty accurate.
And you live in a constant state of anger.
Anger. I am filled with rage.
Let's hear you say grr.
Grr.
Nice.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
Your questions, because we care that you care. KNBR, Los Angeles. I'm sorry, San Francisco. Got the city wrong.
Yeah, you did.
Do you remember the first? Do you remember the first movie you ever saw and where? This comes from Pete Nickerson. I'm sorry, Nick Peterson. That was a genuine.
What was that?
That's is it a Mondegreen when you get them mixed up like that?
I have no idea.
But I looked at the name Nick Peterson and I said, don't say Pete Nickerson. In my head, my internal monologue is saying, don't say it. And I said, it's Pete Nickerson. Duh. It's Nick Peterson. Do you remember the first movie you ever saw and where? And I guess this would have to be at
a theater.
This
question. Yeah. So, yes, I do. I saw Bambi. It was in Huntington. It's like the Albee Theater in Huntington, which I think is closed.
Huntington, West Virginia?
Years and years and years
West
and years.
Virginia?
But it was like, do what?
Huntington, West Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, just to be clear. Not everyone's
and
a geography major.
I was too little to hold the seat down.
That happened the first time I took Robert to a movie.
Really? So my uncle had taken me and my brother to go see Bambi. I was too little to hold the seat down, so he had to sit leaned over holding the seat down for me the whole time. Otherwise, I got like folded up.
That's pretty great. First movie I ever saw was, of course, 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh!
No, I think the first movie I ever saw might have been Pinocchio. At the...
I've got two legs. I've got no strings to hold me down. Wow, that was... I did that wrong.
That's right. No, that was the song that President Roosevelt sang. Hey.
No, I do.
Laugh if you will, but he was my favorite sitting president. I do believe the first movie I saw was Pinocchio at the upstairs theaters. There was four of them at the old Tyson's Mall.
Oh.
But because there was the eight theaters downstairs, the Roth's eight. And then I believe it was NTI upstairs that had four theaters. The four theaters were bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think Pinocchio might have been the first I ever saw. Although Benji might have been way up there. And Benji would have been at either the Jefferson or the Buckingham in Arlington or Falls Church.
See, so where I grew up, there really weren't movie theaters. So we would have to go to like Huntington.
Oh, yeah, you had to go. All right. Yeah,
Really, Bambi's the only one that I remember.
I do remember, I remember that Pinocchio scared the hell out of me. But everything scared me when I was a kid.
Okay, I'm going to jump forward here. Someone asked if I ever did finally watch Lancelot Link.
Yes.
And I'm going to answer, the answer is no. And the answer is no for the same reason why I will never watch Planet of the Apes series. I will not watch our spinoff show of Bubbles and, Scatter.
Scatter and Bubbles.
Scatter and Bubbles. I will never watch that show either. Monkeys scare the bejesus out of me because of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the flying monkeys, which weren't really monkeys at all.
Oh.
What about what was it? The Every Which Way you But Loose with the orangutan and Clint Eastwood.
The human element kind of helps.
And that, of course, referring to Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. But funny when an orangutan flips the middle finger. You can't argue that.
Always funny.
Now, if you put that in Lancelot Link, made it a little more adult.
Project X.
Okay.
There's humans involved, it's not as scary. I also don't want them to talk.
Oh, man, a talking monkey is the greatest. And I think you could be okay with Lancelot Link because they wear human clothes. And at this point, 70s human clothes.
No.
Mata Hari wears stockings.
No.
Hey, Katie, look at me. Monkey in stockings. Funny.
Yeah.
Monkey in shoes. They have to be wide, though, because, they have thumbs on their feet.
No.
Opposable thumbs.
I feel that would be cruel.
I think it elevates them to the next level. I think it's the nicest thing you can do is to dress up a monkey. I mean, it shows acceptance.
I'm good.
You're great. And that's why I love you. Samantha Dashevsky writes, feta or no feta?
I like feta.
I would much rather have blue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bleu is always the way to go.
Bleu.
But so we cheese household now.
Oh, that's true. I'm going to say no feta. So there you go.
What if it's a Greek salad?
It's all Greek to me. If it's a Greek salad, it needs feta, I suppose. But you know what? I don't much go for Greek salad. Olives are fine on their own. They're okay. But given an option, I might not go for it.
So what kind of salad do you prefer?
I like spinach salad very much. Okay. I like a spinach salad. I also just like a garden salad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, how about this? Just a summertime tomato cut up with a little crumbled blue cheese and some balsamic vinegar. Hard to beat that.
Tomatoes are my favorite food.
Yeah, but you don't eat mayonnaise.
No.
We've been through that before. Brad, my buddy Brad this week ate some spoiled, he said.
I saw. Yeah. Is he still alive?
He seems to be doing well, although he has a trip scheduled to the Mayo Clinic. Not fair. Set myself up for that. Kristen Hout writes, a favorite summertime cocktail and blended cocktail. Well, this leads me into a story. As on Friday night, I took my alcoholism to the next level and made Mai Tais at home.
Why is that the next level?
Because it involved like going on the internet and buying special syrups and stuff. I mean, it's okay if you just go to a liquor store and buy something. But I did have to go to the liquor store. I went to, really, it was like a trip to Disneyland. Pearson's Liquors in Washington, D.C.
I love Pearson's. I mean, that's where I used to live.
You lived there.
Not in Pearson's, but that was my neighborhood.
You lived in Pearson's.
Mm-hmm. They have a great newsletter.
They do? I want to go to there.
I think if you go to their website, you can sign up for the emails.
It is the greatest liquor store. It is tall and narrow and deep, and it's like stepping into 1960. And yes. They have everything. They really do.
And if they don't have it, they will order it.
So I went in and I got myself it was on sale, but still not cheap. They say, and I did a lot of research on the Mai Tai because I like the tiki drinks from Chinese restaurants.
So tell me what is in. So what did you research?
I researched that. I found out that it came from any cocktail, there are many stories, but most say it was invented at Trader Vic's in the late 30s or early 40s.
What's Trader Vic's?
Trader Vic's is a beachside restaurant in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they, I believe it's mentioned in the Werewolves of London song.
He's
something at Trader Vic's and his hair was perfect. So I went in and they said that what you need to do is make sure that you use a high quality rum because a perfect Mai Tai does not hide the rum. It amplifies the rum. So the rum is the centerpiece
really like
of it.
Rum.
See, I do. I really do. So they said that the reason is this: the bartender invented
light or dark or spiced or not.
This was just a regular medium 15-year-old aged rum. Maybe El Dorado is what I bought. I should know the name. I don't.
But El Dorado is the name of the place in Mexico that I'm going to.
The Dorado. We will address this in a future show, but we had a wonderful conversation before this show where Katie said, did I tell you I'm going to Mexico? And I said, wasn't there something about a place where you could sit in a raft and float to breakfast? And as I was saying it, I said, that sounds so ridiculous. That can't possibly be right. And she said, that's true.
That's true.
So we will hear all about that. Floating to breakfast. So I bought the rum at Pearson's and I bought some triple sec, which is essentially orange curacao, which is an orange liqueur. But what I had to get on the internet was something called Orgeat syrup, which is an almond syrup.
And they didn't have it at Pearson's?
They did not, because it's not alcoholic. It's more of a confection. It looks like the almond syrup you would see at Starbucks, if you're getting a fancy drink. So what it is essentially, and I monkeyed with the ingredients a little bit. Sorry to use that verb. Didn't want to upset you. Mm. But it's about the juice of half a lime, one shot of rum, about a tablespoon of the syrup, about a little less than a tablespoon of simple syrup to offset the lime, ice, shake, serve unstrained with a sprig of mint and a cherry. And legend has it...
With the ice or without the ice?
With the ice, unstrained.
Okay.
And as the legend goes, is that when it was first served at Trader Vic's, someone yelled, Mai Tai, which means in Polynesian, the greatest.
Oh,
but it's very good. It's got that little taste of almond is nice, and the lime. I like fresh lime in a drink.
Good. Did you put the lime in the coconut?
And I shook it all up and said, "Doctor!" But anyway, right now that will be my favorite summertime blended cocktail. But also in the summertime, I like a good cheap domestic beer that's cold as can be, like a Rolling Rock. I think that's great in the summertime.
I really feel like we answered this question last week.
You know what? But our alcoholic base, they want to hear it again.
I like a mojito.
Yes, I like it.
I also like a margarita.
Mm-hmm.
But on the rocks with salt.
Okay, that's good. And you know what? The salt is important. I like that salt. It helps you stay hydrated. Is Katie doing all right? Rob Cox wants to know.
Yeah.
Good. Glad to know it. Mike Ogden inquires, can B&M baked beans ever be a wise choice at a summer picnic?
Go with bushes.
I agree. I'm thinking full bush.
Getting to know you. getting to know all about you.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
I think bush baked greens are the best. And they have so many varieties.
Oh, I was going to say the grilling beans?
Yes.
Those are good beans.
Mm, and they'll end a marriage like that. such noises.
Oh.
Yes.
Well.
Being a dog owner, Mike Ogden writes, being a dog owner, do you think Basset Hounds are safe around Basset furniture on the lanai? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
You know what? Bad hosting. I should not have read that. Hot dogs, ketchup, yes or no?
No, mustard only.
I will sometimes use ketchup if I'm putting... Hold it. Now listen, never just ketchup, but ketchup if I have chili on the hot dog because it adds a little sweetness to the chili.
Okay, well, I like...
But if I'm just having a hot dog with one condiment, you know it's going to be mustard.
I'm not the biggest fan of ketchup, but I do feel there's a certain... It's not American to put ketchup on a hot dog. Mustard only.
Okay, very good. I agree. I think you did very well there. Play. Thank you.
America!
Number one! Happy birthday. Todd Erdman writes, congratulations on already surpassing the amount of episodes from last year. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, you know what? You're a jerk for saying that. That's very backhanded.
Yes, it is.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations on not being ugly as your brother. Okay, Todd? That's essentially what he's saying.
I know. It's a backhanded compliment.
That's right. Let's reset.
My, your waist is so small. It's your ass that's so big.
Does this shirt make me look fat? No, it's your waist that makes you look fat. All right. Congratulations on already surpassing. Yeah, okay. I get your joke. What's your favorite... band. What?
I'm sorry.
What are you doing? We were going on no edits and then you said a bad word.
I know. I just dumped coffee on my white shirt.
Oh, dear. Katie, sloppy drunk.
This is a life's bleachable moment.
Is it a learnable moment?
I'm sorry.
Hey, congratulations on surpassing the amount of coffee you spilled yesterday.
Dang it.
Darn it.
Gosh.
What is... Do you want your tots? What is your favorite backup... Or who is your favorite backup band? I must say the news is tops in my book.
I didn't ask.
It's pretty funny.
Kidding. The news is a fantastic, absolutely.
But it's funny, backup band just calling them the news.
Well, aren't they?
I guess. You know who else is great? The Pips.
Gladys?
Yeah. But they're not a band. They're singers.
Right. Let's see. Big Brother and the Holding Company.
You like the Holding Company? And the not Holding Big Brother? Company. I like I know.
The band. No, it's got to be the band.
Based on, I agree. If I can't say the Pips, I will say the Buckaroos, the backup band on Hee Haw.
Oh my God!
Buck Owens and the Buckaroos.
Okay.
How about the Plastic Ono Band?
No.
No, they were good. I mean, they backed up John Lennon.
But with Ono?
Yeah.
As part of, okay, there I have. So remember when you couldn't listen to music before you bought it?
Yes. Yes.
So you would walk into a record store or CD shop and you would be like, hey, you know, I kind of like, okay, so I love John Lennon. Let's get this. So I got John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band live in New York.
Ooh, not their best.
No. At one point, I'm listening and I'm thinking, wow, that's a really weird. How are they making that noise with a trumpet? God.
It's not a trumpet.
That's Yoko.
It's a lady.
Oh.
I want to give a special Cake and Cookies award to Dan Von Herman for doing shtick on our site.
What did he do?
Wanda Combs Farmer writes, making an apple cake, do you recommend walnuts or pecans? And Dan replies, I would try apples.
He dipped into the moonshine last night.
Yeah, he went in there. I'm going to tell jokes.
Maybe that's why he's cranky today.
He got the hurting head, maybe.
Maybe.
Laura Schmidt writes, when our lovely host from Cake and Cookies feel ill, what are your favorite comfort foods?
I like pho.
Aren't you the king of pho? You are fucking great.
You might have to beep that.
No, I don't think I will. We're not on a radio station anymore.
We should be.
I hear you.
Hi, Steve. I like pho and then or like chicken nuggets and fries.
You see, we actually have overlap there because my like if I'm coming off flu or something like that, the first thing I will usually eat is I will have hot and sour soup delivered.
Oh, okay. No, that's definitely in my top five. Hot and sour soup.
Love
for
it.
Sure.
Love
and
it.
That's Dan's absolute go-to. Unfortunately, he can't have it anymore.
Oh, true. True, true. I've even looked into making it, and you know what? It's too hard.
But soy sauce has gluten in it.
Stupid soy sauce.
Well, we have found there's gluten-free soy sauce that you can order.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it taste right?
And there's like, he's taken to ordering gluten-free hoisin.
Well, you can get all that stuff, and does it taste right, and does it feel right in your mouth?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, good for you. You know what? They have gluten issues in China as well. I believe this one is directed to me. Jason Wickland writes, how do you feel about small, round, seedless watermelons?
We've covered this. Why would you ask such a question?
Because it's the time of year and I want to address this.
Have you had a canary melon?
A what?
I didn't know what it was either, but it came in the farm bag, and it is delicious.
What is it called?
Canary
like
melon.
Like a bird?
Yes.
Does it sit on your shoulder and die in a coal mine?
Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. The canary is on the counter.
It's truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual.
It's a small yellow melon, and it's kind of like a honeydew, but a little sweeter.
It's cute when you say yellow melon.
What?
It's yellow melon.
Well, anyways, the small seedless, the personal watermelons, no.
Listen up, people of America.
Oh, my God.
Children of America don't understand my relationship with watermelons growing up. A watermelon used to be a commitment. You would buy a 40-pound melon. You would have to move stuff around in your refrigerator. It would take up room. It would leak juice. Everything would be sticky. There would be black seeds everywhere. A watermelon, if you cut into it, and it was not a good melon, if it was mealy, if it was not sweet, you were stuck with that melon for an eternity. Half of a summer, it sat there in the bottom of your refrigerator on a plate that it didn't fit. Sticky, intrusive. It bothered you all summer. Now, you children, you go to Costco and you get a bag and you say, oh, here's my watermelon. It's the size of a grapefruit. I'm going to cut into it and eat it like an orange. It's easy. Where are the seeds? There are no seeds. There's no commitment. Everything is easy and clean. You don't know how good you have it. When I was a boy, buying a watermelon was an experience that you had to invest time and your soul, and you had to wash the refrigerator. Your hands would be sticky from July 4th till August 9th based on one watermelon. You don't know how good you have it. I'm against small seedless watermelons.
Yes.
When I was a boy, buying a watermelon meant you had to take time out of your life. Stop it. Just be careful and know how good it is. Know how good you've got it. Appreciate it. Understand it, all right? Small seedless watermelons. Sure, you think you've advanced yourself, but really, have you gone forward or have you taken a step back? Should it be that easy? Should things be that easy? We're a great nation that overcame such strife, and we came across blisteringly cold, breaking waves and landed on this shore, and we became a new nation, a braver nation, a stronger nation, a nation that knew how to rise to the occasion. We fought a war with an ocean between us. We declared independence. Don't you know that when we did it, there was no precedent because we were the first that were brave enough to do it. And back then, we were mostly eating pumpkins. But the watermelons eventually came, and they were huge, and they were sticky. And I'm just saying, know what you got.
Are you finished?
I'm so glad Jason wrote that. Because you know what? I think people forget.
I don't. And they certainly won't now.
People forget. That things are better now. I'm just saying, appreciate what you've got. Single serve applesauce. Do you know how many times I've opened up a jar of applesauce and there's mold or something in it? Spores, whatnot. That doesn't exist because all the applesauce comes in single serve. Sometimes it's squirt applesauce. What happens if you brought a squirt applesauce to Thomas Jefferson? You know what he'd say? I invented the swivel chair so I could read the way the lights. I said, Dr. Benjamin Franklin, look at this. It's a Capri Sun. It's a drink in foil. He'd say, I invented the stove. How about
you
a watermelon?
You could invent a straw that didn't go all the way through the Capri Sun.
You know what? Dr. Franklin could.
Yes.
Brilliant man.
Can we move on?
I think I'm just about done.
Okay.
Jeff Shaw writes, I need to go back to, I was on my watermelon rave out page.
Yes.
I need to go back.
Why, yes.
Bless.
My watermelon rave out.
And you know what? I do, of course. I tweak it for the show. But those little watermelons bother me.
I know they do.
People don't know how good they have it. That's the problem. What are your top three non-more podcasts? Do you listen to podcasts outside of the More Network?
Not really. I did listen to Serial the first season, and I liked that.
I like it.
But I didn't like the subsequent one.
No, I agree. I don't think they finished the second one, did they? Didn't they sort of bail on it?
I did.
I listened to the second Serial.
I bailed on it. I mean, I didn't. So I don't know.
I listened to the second Serial, and when I found out it was about Frosted Flakes, I said, this seems.
It was not.
I never miss. Here's what I listen to. I will listen to Marc Maron based on the guest. I like Marc Maron a lot, but not even he can make a guest that I'm not interested in compelling for me. But as a rule, I'd say about 75% of his guests I'll listen to. And his opening monologues and his internal stuff, I think he's wonderful. I think he's a wonderful broadcaster. Big fan. I listen to Comedy Bang Bang. Usually,
I have listened to Comedy Bang Bang, and I do enjoy that.
And that is guest dependent. It'll always be an agreeable waste of time, but sometimes a brilliant waste of time. And I think I wouldn't listen as much if I didn't spend so much time in the car. I spend 3 hours in the car a day, so a lot of times to burn out podcasts.
Okay, so I haven't been, because I'm not in a car, like ever. But there was a podcast, and I know it's still on, but it's almost like a game show. And, I can't remember the name of it, but man, Dan and I had such a good time listening to that in the car when we were. And there's a woman on it. She's got a really funky, cool name. Oh, man.
Is it Katie Forbes Von Herman?
No.
I listened to, you know what? Alton Brown is a guy who had a podcast that existed, then he bailed on it. I listened to
really?
That. Yeah, you did that one for a while. What else? The Ultimate Comedy Nerd podcast. I listened to the Carson podcast, which is a guy who interviews people who were
Johnny?
On or affiliated with the Johnny Carson
Daily?
Show. No, not Carson Daly. Johnny Carson, like the Tonight Show. This guy finds people that were guests or crew members or had some sort of association with the Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
Well, that's a dwindling list.
Work fast. A good friend of mine posted on Facebook that she was reading the new Phil Collins autobiography called I'm Still Alive. I said, read it quick while the title's still accurate.
Yes.
So that
was to change it.
Same thing. The Carson podcast, and that can be really, really ponderous. But there are examples like when he talked to who was it? It might have been Tom Dreesen, who had his debut on The Tonight Show in the 70s and walked through what it was like being a comedian going on The Tonight Show in the 70s and the process. Because before they had the improv show, Night at the Improv and all that stand-up comedy, and there was only three stations. When you went on the Johnny Carson show as a comic, it changed your life that night. And to walk through that process was fascinating. Now, I really don't need to hear from the guy that pulls the rainbow-colored curtain back to let Johnny out for 40 minutes. That I don't need. But to hear Tom Dreesen's process was pretty good.
So what did you do for the Johnny Carson show? I was in charge of the curtain.
I'm a curtain guy. I was a curtain guy. So yeah, that's another one I listened to. Think of the name of that game show one. I'll check it out.
I will.
Because usually by about Thursday night, I'm down to listening to audiobooks when I come home from work.
Like I think your name starts with an O.
Oprah.
No.
Harpo.
No, Ophelia. That's backwards.
No. We're not getting close, are we?
Pete Nickerson.
Nick Peterson?
Nick Peterson.
Don't say it. Don't say it. It's like when I had a teacher in my senior year that said, okay, everyone in the room, don't think about elephants. Say, you're thinking about elephants.
Can I choose a question?
I wish you would.
What? Hit the button.
Oh, I'm sorry, please. I thought we were set up. Okay.
Stephen T. Miller writes,
yes.
What fireworks do you enjoy more, the large boom sounds or the large bursts of color?
Aren't they sort of related? Don't the big boom come after the burst of color because of the...
But there are some that just make noise.
Yes. Oh, like firecrackers and cherry bombs and stuff.
Kind of what I'm thinking. I prefer the large bursts of color.
I do. I like the colorful ones. Although I do know that there was one time that another WJFK employee and myself may have gone down to the parking deck. Do you remember when the Don and Mike show went through a phase where people were dropping off fireworks, but mostly just explosives? And there was a rule drawn up that we could no longer set off firecrackers in the studio because the actual, whatever it is, pyrite or whatever comes out of a firecracker when it blows up was coating the solenoids in the board and making the board not work because there were huge, huge clouds of fireworks. So what we did is we took...
It's gumming up the board.
We took... someone dropped off something and took it down to the parking deck and lit it, and it went off. And every car that had a car alarm...
I forgot about this.
...went off. And because only salespeople had enough money to have car alarms, there was like a parade of salespeople that came down to, what's going on? What's going on? So I went up and I researched what it is we just blew up. And it was indeed a quarter stick of dynamite.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I don't know why this reminded me of, do you remember throwing hams off the roof?
Hams? Oh, we threw everything off the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I think the best thing we threw off, the big television.
Oh, getting it up there, though, was, I was afraid.
Well, it was heavy. And
well,
also
it was a ladder.
Yeah, because it wasn't steps.
The ladder at the top of the stairs.
You would go up two flights and then, like, and then there was ladder. Yeah, it was nasty. So, but anyway.
And I just remember it going through that sort of whole opening, and I was like, somebody's going to get crushed.
Yeah, because if we dropped it, forget it. And then we didn't have a bit for the third segment.
I mean, and what would you do?
What
would
you do?
Who's going to run the board?
What will you do? What will you do? And of course, my favorite fireworks of all, snakes. Do you know snakes?
No, I don't. Wait,
the little black pellets?
Yeah, and they it's like almost like a tube of charcoal.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yes. They're horrible. And they leave black marks on your sidewalk. Stupid snakes. Let's close with this, because I don't know that we've ever addressed this topic. Chris Pontani writes, when the time comes, do you prefer burial or cremation?
Cremation for me. I want my ashes, shot into space.
You know what? Okay. Let's end with that.
Talk about going out with a bang.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. I used to think burial. But you know what? No, I just want ashes. And I want to throw them on the kitchen floor and see how long it takes for my kids to clean them up.
You can't throw yourself on the kitchen floor if you're ashes.
Can you do it for me?
Sure.
Thank you. You know what you are? A friend, loyal and true.
I am.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again next week. We'll do one next weekend. Coming up, I want you to think...
Wait. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
Can we go out instead of the Besame Mucho? Can we go out with the
watermelon rave out music?
Yes, the watermelon rave out music.
Let me go to my watermelon rave out page, and yes, of course. But I did want to say that I want everyone to start put on your thinking hats, your thinking toques, because coming up maybe next week or in the near future, we'll be doing an entirely question show.
So we are charging you.
Yes, are you so many assignments?
Crumbs. K-R-U-M-B-B-S.
Right on.
Good questions only.
Make your best questions.
If they're not good enough, I won't do the show, Rob. I won't.
It's never stopped us before from not doing the show.
Good point.
Did that make any sense? All right, yeah, so get your questions together, because I think next weekend we'll be doing an all-questions show. If there's something you really want to hear from us, something in-depth.
And don't post yet. Wait.
Wait.
Until we ask.
Wait. Wait is what I say to Linus. Wait. And then I'll say, okay. And then you can post your questions.
And if you are just going to post a question on the page without the call to questions, you're done.
You're out of here. You're not allowed to listen anymore.
No more.
And also, I'm not going to call anyone out by name, but a couple stupid questions this week. Like, I have to find, with or without, someone wrote. All right. You think you're pretty funny, don't you? With the blinkers on the horses. It's not, you're not helping me out, Sonny Hall. You know what Sonny loves?
Sonny can do better. I know Sonny can do better.
Sonny says, I'm going to write this on the Facebook page. I'm going to go get a bag of little seedless watermelons.
Ooh.
That's all I eat, Sonny Hall.
Not very nice, Rob.
Hey, it's a cruel world. Happy Independence Day, everybody. Remember, we live in the greatest nation in the world, and you're listening to, like, one of the worst podcasts ever.
Oh, it's true.
Grossest. Certainly the grossest.
Definitely.
Well, we'll do it again next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Robbie.
And happy birthday, America. Talk to you soon. And now, the Boston Pops Orchestra.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So hooray for everything, as I sometimes say.
Hooray. So I think today we're just going to try to keep things calm for them.
Maybe what you need is beautiful music.
Beautiful music on KNBR San Francisco.
I don't feel like I've heard that one before. Can you play it again?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Beautiful music on KNBR San Francisco.
Man, the bass in that is
rich.
Whoa.
That's better than this jingle.
77 WABC, New York City.
They almost sound like they're making fun of New York City with the tone they take when they sing New York City. It's almost sarcastic.
77 WABC, New York City.
It's like, yeah, New York City.
Yeah, someone in there is kind of pissed off. For sure.
I had a bad experience at Joe's Pizza. New York City. Stupid Fifth Avenue.